Well, good evening. It's good to see each one of you in the Lord's house again with us tonight. Let's stand together, please, and turn to page 380. Page 380, revive us again. We'll start with that song tonight. Sing all four verses together. Page 380.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, like the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, like the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, like the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Oh, glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Thine the glory, revive us again, revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen. Pastor, boy, it's sure good to be back in the Lord's house and thankful that you're here tonight. Trust all our moms had a great Mother's Day. And let's pray tonight. Ask God's blessing on our services tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Rich Framer back there if you'd pray for us tonight. Tonight, of course, don't forget about next Sunday night, right after the service, there is a teen activity. So if you have kids in the teen department, do be aware of that. There's a, I think it's a restaurant takeover is the activity. And so I know our kids will be having a good time with that. And then, of course, the following Sunday, May the 26th, right after the service that evening will be the camp meeting as well. And so if you have kids going to senior camp and junior camp, you'll need to make sure that you are here for that meeting. That'll be in room 2 right up here by the toddler nursery. They're going to remind you of things like make sure you send soap with your kids and they have to use it. They can't just take it with them and bring it back to you at the end of the week. Amen. And then also next Sunday night, Brother Tim Quinlan, our youth director, is going to be preaching as well. And so I know that will be a blessing. Did just want to remind you, of course, this week is the Heartland Baptist Bible College, the graduation week. We do have one of our young men that's graduating, Brother Luke Quinlan. So do be much in prayer for him. That'll be Thursday morning. And so we do have quite a bit of people that are going to be down there for that. And so in light of all of that, Brother Keith Drinkard, our church planter that we support over in Leawood, Kansas, and the Lord is using him to plant Ironwood Baptist Church. He is going to be here that Wednesday night and filling the pulpit and preaching. I realize there's going to be a lot of people that are going, just trying to find different people to fill in different places. I kept going into families going, we're going to be down there. We're going to be down there. So half of Faith Baptist Church is going to be in Oklahoma City. All right. But I said all that to say there's a couple of things. We're not going to be running buses because of everybody that's down there. And so there's going to be, everybody will be up here. There'll be a combined kids class. Brother Jim and Miss Janet Wisdom will take care of that. But let me just encourage you, if you are going to be here and in town, be in church Wednesday night. Because I'm just telling you, you know, even Brother Terry Randolph was here, and while they were here, they went over and preached and spent a Sunday with Brother Keith Drinkard and his family. And the Lord's really doing a work over there. They got about 25, 30 people that are meeting there, and praise the Lord for that. But I know it would really be an encouragement to them to come in on Wednesday night and have a lot of seasoned Christians around them, loving on them, encouraging them, smiling at them while he preaches and saying amen, those kind of things. You might get what I'm saying to you tonight. And it would just be a real encouragement. I know I've already warned him and said, hey, it may be like a ghost town. I don't know. But he's already said, hey, I'm looking forward to being with Faith Baptist Church family. That's the way he thinks about you. So why don't you think the same way towards him and his family and be a blessing to them? I know the tendency is this, that we get in the flesh and we go, you know, nobody's going to be there. I'll just live stream tonight. I'm just telling you, be in your place. It would be an encouragement to them and come and be here for that. So just want to encourage you with that. Okay, brother, come on ahead.
Let's turn to page 553. I'll let you remain seated for this song. But page 553, He Hideth My Soul. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse together tonight. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Page 553. Sing out with me on the first verse. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. Hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, wherever the pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. Thankful for God's protection tonight, amen, and all that he does for us. It's been such a great day in the Lord's house. I'm going to ask Brother Micah Quinlan, if you would, please pray for the offering tonight. Amen. For our last song, page 687, Won't It Be Wonderful There? I'm telling you what, when you get to heaven, it's going to be a wonderful place and a wonderful time. Page 687, sing it out on that first verse. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there, walking and talking with Christ, the supernal one, won't it be wonderful there, praising, adoring the matchless eternal one, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there, sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Forward to heaven. Say amen tonight. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Great singing this evening. Just before the message tonight, we have a special from Brother Gary Waters.
And demons tremble. Speak His name, and angels assemble. Speak His name, and multitudes bow in awe and reverence before His throne. Jesus, name of our Lord, whose praise we sing. Jesus, Jesus. Speak His name. When a loved one is dying, speak His name, and the sad heart stops crying. Speak His name, and glad hearts sing. together adoring before His throne. Jesus, Jesus, name of our Lord, whose praise we sing. Jesus, 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 our Lord and King. In His name is peace for the nations. In His name is hope of salvation. In His name the wanderer tossed and driven finds comfort and peace unknown. Jesus, Jesus, name of our Lord, whose praise we sing. Jesus, 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 our Lord and King.
Praise the Lord. Well, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciate that tonight, Brother Gary. Miss Angel has a blessing tonight. Well, we get back into our study tonight on the kings and the prophets, which follows the book of Judges in the history of the nation of Israel. Okay, and so we know this tonight. It starts out by covering a man by the name of Samuel, who of course is chosen as what really the Bible even reveals to be a judge and the man of God for the hour. Okay, however, two transitions take place, and that is this. One of them is this: the people wanted a king to be like all the other nations. All right, so Saul has been chosen to be king, and so that transition took place. God is no longer the king, Saul is the king. All right, but then that moves Samuel into the room of prophet as opposed to judge. So where you and I are kind of diving back into tonight, Saul has already been made king. And then at the beginning of chapter number 11 of 1 Samuel, the Ammonites come up against the people of Jabesh-Gilead, the Israelites there. They want to basically make them slaves, and the deal is they gotta pluck out their right eye. That's not a great deal. All right, so you understand, they reach out to Saul as the new king, and Saul comes in to rescue. And what I would say to you tonight is this: as king, he passes with flying colors because the people are saved, the people are rescued. And so what happens now is this, is that all Israel has gathered together for what I would call an inauguration ceremony. All right, so take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 11. And let's all stand tonight in honor of God's Word, if you're able to stand. And if you look down at the end of chapter number 11 there, you can see verse number 12 there. It says, "The people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, Saul shall reign over us?" You know, condescending the choice that God made in Saul. And so they say, "Bring the men that we may put them to death." And I love the humility right here, the mercy of Saul, because in verse 13 it says that there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. And what a blessing that is. And I'm just telling you, as a student of Saul, you better enjoy this, because this is the peak right here. All right. But I want you to notice verse number 14.
Then said Samuel to the people, come, and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the Lord in Gilgal, and there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. An inauguration ceremony. Now look at verse number 1 of chapter 12. And Samuel said unto all Israel, and I love this right here, the first three verses, watch this word, behold. He says, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. Did you catch that? Not God's voice, your voice. Then in verse number 2, and now behold, here it is again. The king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you. And I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, fourth time, behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before His anointed, whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith, and I will restore it you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught from any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and His anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And I'm going to stop reading right there. I believe what you're going to find is that the greater theme throughout this next chapter is this. God still wants to be your king. But in the beginning of this, all right, this is really about Samuel and his testimony. Now, this is the way I would say it to you tonight. When our president is elected into office, everybody knows about it in November. We all stay up all night praying that the right guy gets in, right? But you understand, it's not official until the inauguration ceremony that comes in January. The point is, this is kind of a similar situation here. Saul has already been chosen to be king back in chapter number 10. But now that he has handled the Ammonites and he's proven himself to be a leader, now the ceremony is made official with this inauguration. But this would be the only difference, where instead of Saul making a speech like a president, the man of God stands up and says, you're going to have to listen to me for a little bit. To which I thought, man, I'd rather see a man of God or hear a man of God preaching our president's inauguration any day of the week than listen to some politician. And I'm not talking about some Joel Osteen guy. I'm talking about a man of God get up there and preach the Word of God. Anyways, that's just my own taking. You can say whatever you want to tonight, or you can sit there and take a nap, whatever floats your boat. But I'm just telling you tonight, here's what we're going to see. Samuel was a man of integrity. Samuel was a man of integrity. And here is what men of God and the people of God need to be today. Men and women of integrity. And so here's what the question we can ask ourselves tonight, do you have integrity tonight? Father, would you bless the preaching now? And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Once you be seated tonight, appreciate you standing in honor of God's Word. Now, before we get into the message tonight, I think it would be fair for us to understand why it is that Samuel is testifying of his integrity here. And what I would say to you is this. It is because the people of Israel have rejected God as their king. And you got to understand this. This was very personal to Samuel because God had chosen him to be his mouthpiece. And Samuel was a man of integrity in that regard. In other words, he took that seriously. I love what the Bible says about Samuel. He did not let the word of God fall to the ground. That means this, that anything God spoke to Samuel, He said it to the people. It didn't matter their countenance. It didn't matter how difficult it was to hear. He gave them, "Thus saith the Lord," which, by the way, ought to be how the man of God does today. That He gives them, "Thus saith the Lord." But you understand, because they rejected God and they were rejecting Samuel, this was initially marring his testimony. If you go back to 1 Samuel, just a few chapters back there in chapter number 8, I just want to recall this to you, that when the people come to him in verse number 6, to Samuel and say, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us." Notice the terminology there. "Make us a king to judge us like all the nations." As if Samuel was failing in his job. But notice in verse number 6, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, 'Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.'" And so you understand, this affected Samuel very personally and very deeply. And so as they're gathering together, Saul has proven himself to be the king. Samuel's going to stand up in this inaugurational ceremony, and he's going to begin to defend his integrity. But I'm just telling you, the reason that he does this is because he wanted them to know two very clear things. One of those was this: they would be held responsible for their decision in choosing Saul, not God and Samuel. Not God and Samuel. Look at verse number 1 of our text here in chapter number 12. It says, "And Samuel said unto all Israel, 'Behold, I have hearkened,'" and notice I stressed this earlier, "'I have hearkened unto your voice in all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you.'" Samuel begins Saul's inauguration by testifying that Samuel, he did everything that the people asked him to do. He made them a king. He gave them a king over them as they requested. And here's the thing tonight. It wasn't that Samuel was a compromiser and gave the people what they needed. Samuel obeyed God and gave them what they wanted. But here Samuel is making the people aware that this was their idea, not his, and that they are ultimately going to be held accountable for it, not him. And you got to remember this tonight. If you take notes tonight, you need to write this down somewhere in here. But you got to remember this. Israel right now is in God's permissive will, not in God's perfect will. You understand? Come on, friend. Listen to this. You understand? They're doing what they're wanting to do. They're not doing what God is wanting them to do. You understand? God is ultimately the one that wants to be the king over them. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm telling you that they're in God's permissive will. God's allowing them to do what they want to do. And Samuel wants them to understand that just because they are getting what they wanted doesn't mean that they are necessarily right with God. There's going to be consequences to their decision. And what I'm trying to stress to you tonight is this, is that we had better take note of this and heed this same warning as well. Because what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is this, is that even in the New Testament, even in our day and time, when people get outside of God's will for their life, they are prone to thinking that just because they are getting what they want, well, that means God's approving their decisions. Judging your conduct on the premise of prosperity and worldly success is a very foolish thing. Because last time I checked, we're supposed to judge our conduct based upon the Word of God. God does not call you to earthly success and worldly gain. What He does desire that we would have is integrity, and that we would desire to stay in His perfect will for our lives. Secondly is this, is that Samuel points out his integrity because he wants Israel to know the reality of their decision. They forsook the leadership. They forsook the leadership of God, but they also forsook the leadership of a spiritual man for the leadership of a man with stature, talking about Saul, who was head and shoulders above everybody else. Matthew Henry said it like this: they could not have had a better man to rule them, only they desired a bigger man to rule them. And this is why Israel rejected Samuel for Saul. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this, is that man still makes the same decisions on the same basis today. This is what Israel did. They looked out at everybody else and their governments and how their nations operated, and they had a king that ruled over them. And so they said, this is what we want. We want to be like them. And when they saw Saul, who was head and shoulders above everybody else, and he looked regal and he looked kingly, they went, that's our man. When you got to understand this, God's bigger than all that. And it was initially His plan for Him to rule over them. But what I'm saying to you tonight is this: man still makes decisions based on the same things. We choose based on the physical and the material excellence rather than the spiritual excellence. I'm just telling you, churches today are spiraling downward, and they're eventually closing their doors. And here's why: because they're choosing the world over the Word. And here's the other thing: you have marriages and homes and families that are struggling and falling apart. And here's why: because they're choosing sports over spiritual. And even individual believers, we're declining, we're drying up. And here's why: because we choose money over ministry and serving our God and putting Him first in our life. Mark it down, my friend. You will always go wrong when you reject God and His Word. You will always go wrong. It will be wrong. Listen, it will be wrong even when it seems like it's working out at the beginning. I'm just telling you. And here's the thing. Saul is going to be a perfect example of this. Because what's going to happen is this, is that in the very next chapter, Saul begins his decline spiritually, and Israel is going to reap what they sowed in rejecting God and banking on Saul to be their king. What will ensure us tonight of making right decisions based upon the Word of God and even staying in God's perfect will for our lives is this, is that we learn to have the same spiritual integrity that Samuel had in this passage of Scripture tonight. Integrity, if you look up Webster's 1828 dictionary, and I always say this to people, if you're going to study the Bible, get you a Strong's Concordance and get you a Webster's 1828 dictionary, and you can begin to look up these words, and it gives a tremendous amount of depth and meaning. But integrity means this. It means wholeness, entireness, unbroken state. It means purity, unadulterated, genuine. It means the entire, unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness of purity, incorruptness, uprightness, honesty. Listen to this. Integrity comprehends the whole moral character, but has a special reference to uprightness in mutual dealings, transfers of properties, and agencies for others. I'm just telling you, that's exactly what Samuel is describing of his own self right here. Integrity is the opposite of hypocrisy. It is the consistency of biblical values and principles acted out in the daily life. It is regarded as the truthfulness and honesty and accuracy of one's actions. In other words, people can say they have integrity, but the reality is integrity is only seen in your actions. Did you know this? I don't know if you know this, and I don't know if you hear this, but I'm losing my voice again. I can't wait for camp. The second night, I'm going to be like sounding like I'm going through puberty. I'm going to be like half the teenage boys that are there. Take your Bibles and learn them out. I swear. Y'all pray for me. I'm telling you, I need prayer right now. I'm studying right now. I need a lot of prayer. I was working on a camp message before I came in here. Did you know this? That in the corporate world, they actually have integrity tests. Do you know that? When I was, so they've had these around for years, because when I turned 16, I applied and I actually I got a job at, it used to be, it was the Harco drugstore. I don't know if that's a brand up here. Like, it's kind of like Walgreens or you know what we have now, Walgreens, and I can't remember the other one, but anyway, they got them every, like they put a Walgreens and then they put a CVS right next to each other or whatever, and it's like it's kind of like Culver's and Freddy's. You know, but anyways, it's back in my day, it was a Harco drugstore. And so I went in and I put my application in and they called me back for an interview. And I went to an interview and they said, we want you to come back on this day. And they said, we want you to take this test. And I didn't realize what it was. And as I began to go through this test, I thought, this is the most repetitive, annoying test I've ever taken in my life. Because what it was, what it was doing was, it was asking what you would do if you saw somebody steal something and how you would respond to that. And they asked you the same question about 1,500 different ways to try to trip you up, but also to kind of test your integrity, to kind of see where, you know, to see if you consistently responded in the same way. And I do want to say this. I must have passed because they had me back. The only way I could figure it is this. I must have just got it better than everybody else. All right. But here, listen to the results of the integrity test. These are the results. Number one is this. People who have low integrity, they will display a more dishonest behavior. Listen to this. They operate at each end of the spectrum. They are, all right, so at one end, they're either passive and they don't say anything at all, or they're passive aggressive, meaning this, they don't want to say anything, so they try to say something indirectly. Like through gossip. Or backbiting. Or complaining. Now, this is talking about a corporation, not a church. But I think it'd preach. So that's one. That's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is this, is that they're straight up tattletales. My kids know this. They get a tattletale for, they get a whipping for tattletaling, you know, and then they get a whipping for doing bad. All right. So it's, anyway, I can't stand, anyways. So here's the thing. They're tattletales. And the idea is this, is that they're looking to throw their fellow employees under the bus to move up the ladder. Now watch this. People with integrity, high integrity, will approach the party involved first. And directly. You know, it's kind of like what Jesus said in Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That's called integrity. Here's another one. People who have low integrity will try to find reasons to justify their poor behavior. In other words, they're blame shifters. It's always somebody else's fault. And they never take responsibility for their own actions. Now, I'm sure we would never know anybody like that, but I'm just saying, watch the news. My favorite show is Cops. People of low integrity. It was his fault. It was their fault. Well, it wasn't my fault. It was the way I was raised and blah, blah, blah.
Somebody's going to jail. That's my favorite saying. My kids all crack up laughing because as soon as they pull somebody over, I go, somebody's going to jail. And they all crack up. Number three, here's number three. People who have low integrity will exhibit impulsive behavior. They act first and think later. They do not consider the consequences of their actions. They jump to wherever their lust leads them. They are indulgent, meaning this, they have no restraint on themselves. And this is why we are seeing more and more of the foolish behavior that we're watching today in public, road rage, all the crazy things that are going on in our public. Now here's the point tonight, and I want you to listen to this. This is a test given by the corporate world. And if the corporate world highly esteems integrity, then why in the world are God's people so against it? Why are we looking at something like integrity and going, I don't really need that? Please listen to this tonight. Don't sit here tonight and go, well, this is Samuel and this is the man of God. And the man of God should have integrity. You're right. The man of God should have integrity. And many of men of God are missing it in our day and time. But I'm telling you tonight, men of God aren't the only ones that need integrity. It's every child of God that needs integrity in their life. So don't look at this tonight and dismiss it. My friend, if the world out there highly esteems it, then don't you think God, don't you think that certainly this should be a characteristic that the child of God should have? It's amazing to me how we look, how we view things in our day and time, and it's like we use the grace of God to be a license and an excuse to live the way that we want to live when the reality is we need to get back to old-fashioned characteristics like integrity in our lives. Number one tonight, I just want to give you two quick things. In other words, look, we can all go tonight to a Webster's 1828 dictionary and we can read the definition of what integrity is. But what I'm saying to you tonight is this, what does it look like? What does it look like? How does it manifest itself in a person's life that has it? And what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is this, is that I believe Samuel shows us that. As you begin here in chapter number 12, let me just give you three things that he shows tonight. Look at verse number 1. And Samuel said unto all the people, or unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. Now, number one tonight is this. Listen, integrity is loyal to God. Integrity is loyal to God despite being rejected. I think here's another characteristic that we've lost in our day and time. Loyalty. And integrity is really what brings loyalty in our lives to our God, even when we are rejected by man. I'm just telling you, as already pointed out, this verse is pointing back to 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, where we just read earlier where Samuel, you know, he remained loyal to the Lord despite, and I love that it says this, how much it displeased him. It says in that passage, it displeased Samuel. He remained loyal to the Lord despite how much it displeased him of Israel's choice to be like all the other nations, and how much pressure there was from Israel to give into their ways. Despite everyone wanting to be like the Ammonites and the Hivites and the Philistines and whatever other ites were in the land, Samuel wanted to be loyal to God. Samuel wanted to be loyal to God. The word displeased back in 1 Samuel chapter 8, it literally means this. It literally means this, to be broken. You know what that means? You know why it says that the thing displeased Samuel? And Samuel went and prayed unto the Lord. You know why it says that? Because it broke Samuel's heart. It tore him up. It bothered him. It bothered him that they would reject God and they would reject him and they wanted to be like everybody else. And I'm telling you, Samuel's heart was this. Samuel's heart was, I want to be loyal to my God. Why aren't you wanting to be loyal to Him? Reason, though, because of that spirit and that attitude is because he had integrity. See, the Lord was his king.
as He should be our King. See, integrity keeps us loyal despite the rejection of God by others. Here's something for you. David had integrity, which is why he remained loyal to the Lord all throughout his life. In fact, hold your place there in 1 Samuel. Let's do a little Bible study. Whew. Some of you look like you ate as many tacos as I did this afternoon, amen, and you need to move a little bit. All right. 1 Kings chapter 9. First Kings chapter 9. This is God speaking to Solomon. In verse number 4. 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse number 4. Look at this. It says, "If thou, Solomon, wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in," what's that word right there? "Integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments." God's saying this, David, your father David walked in integrity of the heart. Psalm 25 and verse 21, David, the psalmist said this, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." Psalm 26 verse 1, a psalm of David, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide." I like that. Do you know what that word slide means? It means this. It means to waver. James said it like this. A double-minded man who's unstable in all his ways. It means to waver. It means to move back and forth like that double-minded man. But a man of integrity, a man of integrity remains loyal. He remains steadfast. He remains unmovable despite the rejection of God by those around him. Can I say to you tonight that as a church corporately, we need to remain in our integrity. You understand? We need to remain loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ despite what everybody else is doing. I want you to listen to me tonight. As pastor of Faith Baptist Church, I'm not interested in licking my finger and putting it up there and seeing. Contemporary music. I'm not interested in changing our music. That doesn't mean new songs can't be written or done or anything like that. But I'm saying to you, there's a difference between the world's music and godly music. And I'm interested in staying with music that pleases Him because He is our audience. Here's another one. Just because all the churches are going to a perversion of the Scriptures does not mean we have to tonight. Let us remain in our integrity and hold to the authorized King James Version of the Bible. But preacher, you don't understand. It's got all these and thous in there. Yeah, they're called pronouns. It was written on a 6th grade education level, Jethro. You can handle it. And if you don't know who Jethro is, you need to catch up. I mean, Andy Griffith is great, but I'm just telling you, you got to throw in a little bit of Beverly Hillbillies every now and then to keep things kind of balanced. Ooh, doggy. Yeah, man. Just because they're lowering the standard bar. And men of God are taking their ties off and their suits off. I'm just telling you, the last thing I'm interested in seeing is anybody over 40 in skinny jeans. Let us remain in our integrity. Somebody say amen tonight. But let me also say this personally. We need to keep our integrity. Just because people are falling by the wayside and quitting on God or running after the things of the world, listen to me, that doesn't mean you and I need to start doing it. God help us not to slide. Hello? God help us not to start skipping out on a Wednesday night service just because the pastor goes to Oklahoma City. I don't put God in my pocket and take Him with me. Be here. No. And I'm just telling you, listen, it's not just that. Because here's what happens is we start kind of getting comfortable and we get complacent. And then the next thing you know, we don't have integrity and we start sliding. And we start skipping out on men's Bible study. And we start skipping out on men's prayer. And we start skipping out on Wednesday night service and Sunday night service. And the next thing you know, we're out of church altogether. And we're sliding away from the things of God. Listen, I'm just saying to you, that let us not lose our integrity and stay loyal to the things that God has called us to. Friend, I'm telling you tonight, we don't need less spiritual things in the day and age in which we live. We need more. And we need loyalty to our God. Because I'm telling you, there are people that are doing those things. And you're watching them on social media as they're trying to paint a picture that everything's going honky-dory. But underneath, you have no idea that about a year or two down the road, everything's going to go poof. Because when you lose your integrity and you step out of the will of God for your life, I'm just telling you, sooner or later, it's going to cash in. And you're going to reap what you sow. Integrity. Number two, integrity. Look at verse number 2. And now behold, the king walked before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Number 2 is this. Integrity is faithfulness to God despite seclusion. Despite seclusion. See, in verse number 2, Samuel testifies of his faithfulness to the Lord since he was a child. Eli, the man of God before him, had zero integrity. And God dealt with him and had to judge him. He died. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were wicked as well. And God judged them and they died. Even Samuel mentions his two sons that were mentioned all the way back in chapter number 8 who lacked integrity. So what I'm saying to you is this, is that Samuel right here in verse number 2, he's painting a very lonely picture. That his sons are with Israel. Eli and Hophni, they're all gone. I'm the one that God called as a child, and I've been walking with God and remaining faithful despite how lonely it's been. You know why? Because he had integrity. That's integrity like Job had. You ever think about the word integrity? It's all through the first part of the book of Job. Chapter 1 and verses 20 through 22 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. And naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. That's integrity. In fact, God testifies in chapter 2 and verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity. Oh man, would to God he would say that about men today. Job was smote with sores. And in Job chapter 2 and verse number 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. What a woman. And I said that with every ounce of sarcasm I got in me. And by the way, Job still retained his integrity. And he retained it when his so-called three friends showed up. You got friends like Job. You don't need enemies. You understand what I'm saying? Job stayed faithful despite being alone in the Lord. His children were dead. He lost everything he had. His wife was even against him. But Job remained faithful in his integrity. Listen to me tonight. Integrity will determine your choices when you are the only one trying to be faithful to the Lord. When you go to the workplace, your integrity is going to matter. It'll determine whether or not you're going to pray over that meal at the lunch table while everybody else is sitting there and they don't believe like you. It's going to determine if you're going to listen and go along with the dirty jokes that's being told by your employees. It's going to determine if you're going to go along and hang out at the bar after work because you want to be friends with them or rather not be loyal to God. It'll determine if you're going to participate in the workplace gossip. See, integrity is going to determine your choices at home. Maybe you're here tonight and you're the only one saved within your home. Integrity is going to determine what you say and how you act and your faithfulness to the Lord around your loved ones. You see, what I'm saying to you tonight is this, is that it's easy to be faithful when you're around others who desire to be faithful along with you. And I'm not knocking that. I praise God tonight for church family and being around God's people that are of like faith and like passion and like-minded. And I'm telling you, it's easy to preach. And it's easy to rejoice in the things of God. And it's easy to be faithful. But I'm telling you, when it's just you and it's just Him, that's when it's hard. And it's integrity that's going to carry you. It's integrity that's going to carry you through no matter what or who is around you. Number three, look down at verse number three. He says, "Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before His anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it unto you." Or I will restore it to you. Number three is this. Integrity is doing right before God despite temptation. Samuel mentions these things because most likely they were an opportunity for him. Well, why do you say that? Well, if you go back and you look at Hophni and Phinehas, it was sure an opportunity for them. And they took advantage of it. But Samuel had integrity. And he never did. He did right in the sight of God. That's integrity. That's integrity. You see, it's easy to do right when others are around because you have accountability. You know, I can remember getting saved back in the mid-90s, and it was probably about the early 2000s when this term accountability really became popular among Christianity. Have an accountability partner. Have an accountability partner. Have an accountability partner. You know, the problem is, that's not the issue. Integrity's the issue. See, but integrity recognizes accountability unto God. And listen to this. He's always there. He's always there. And so integrity will determine our choices in the face of temptation. Listen to this tonight. Integrity determines what websites your eyes look on when you're by yourself in front of the computer. Integrity determines what television... Integrity determines what you do and what you think about when no one else is around. And I'm just telling you tonight, we can all go, "I got integrity," and we can put on the show. But the reality is only you and God know whether you really have integrity or not tonight. Somebody once rightly said this, "Personality is what others knows about you, but character is what God knows about you." And it's always easy to look spiritual and give the appearance of having integrity. But again, I'm just telling you, only you and God know how your integrity truly is tonight. So number one, that's the character of integrity. Now let me give you the conclusion of integrity. Look at verse number four. So in the first three verses, Samuel kind of lays it out, his integrity, and we see what it looks like in his life. But in these very last verses, we kind of see really the results of it. Look at verse number four. It says, "And they said," talking about Israel, "Thou hast not defrauded us nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand." You know what the first result is? The first result is this. The crowd takes notice when people have integrity. People around you. And you mark it down, friend, they're listening. And they're watching. And it's like somebody rightly said, sometimes you might be the only Bible they ever read. And would to God they'd read integrity. But I'm just telling you, they noticed the people of Israel, they knew Samuel's integrity. They vouched for it. Integrity is consistency and righteousness. It is the opposite of hypocrisy. And what we need today are genuine believers with integrity. And again, whether you like it or not, people are watching you and they're watching me. And you and I are going to have influence on them regardless if it's positive towards the Lord Jesus Christ or it's negative and moves them further away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, far too many are having the negative impact. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this. We need more people to have a positive impact on people needing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that happens when we have integrity in our personal life. You understand that your coworkers may freak out when you shut them down on the dirty jokes or you turn away from the wickedness and all of that stuff. And they may initially freak out and call you different things and this and that and the other. But I want you to listen to this. But at least they'll respect you. And what I have witnessed in my life, even in the secular realm and working, what I have witnessed is this. Is that when people start going through turmoil in their own life, guess who they seek spiritual counsel from? The guy that has integrity. Hey, this man walks with God. I've seen it. At the same time, that does not negate the responsibility for you and me to have integrity. It doesn't. Now, let me give you the last thing. Look at verse number 5. Last thing. And all God's people said amen, right? Look at verse number 5. And He said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and His anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. I believe what Samuel is declaring right here is this. God takes notice. So some say right here when he says this that the Lord is witness against you and His anointed is witness against you. Some say His anointed here is talking about Saul being anointed as the king of Israel back in chapter number 10. And while I certainly am not going to argue with that, and that may very well be the case, but I do want to say this. It definitely alludes to the Lord Jesus Christ. His anointed. His Messiah. But regardless of whether or not who we think that may be, I think it's safe to say this, that God takes notice of integrity. And by the way, I can also say this, He blesses integrity. He blessed Samuel's life. He gave him a long and fruitful ministry. Because of his integrity. That's a lot different than Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. And by the way, unfortunately, it's going to be a lot different than the life of Saul. He blessed David and his reign. Do you know this? That when we get into the life of David, did you know this? God's going to use David to expand the nation of Israel to the largest it will ever be in its history. Wonder why that is. Integrity. And what about old Job? Well, God blessed him. Gave him a double portion of everything that he lost, including his children. And the book of Job ends with him seeing four generations grow up before his eyes. That's pretty awesome. He went to great-great-great-great-grandchildren graduations. Amen. I'm not saying to you tonight God's going to let you live to be 140 years old. I'm not sure I'm going to make it to 50. But what I am saying to you tonight is this, is that if we'll strive to have integrity in our personal lives, and we'll strive to have it in this church, I'm telling you tonight, God will bless it. God will bless it. It's interesting that when you look through the Scriptures, and I don't think this is, I think this is a very obvious statement. God always seems to take note of godly character and He blesses it. And integrity falls into that category. Now the question for you and me tonight is this. Is this what we have? Is this what we have? Are we loyal? Are we faithful in temptation? Even when it's just you and me, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? That's integrity. Let's all stand tonight.